You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to Issues Etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Christ's birth, like this tree, is a reminder that God is always with us. We may neglect him, we may reject him, but he never forsakes us.
The New York-based and Washington-based, too, probably media powerhouses don't quite get religion. We don't get the role of religion in people's lives.
The colors of the rainbow went from blue on one edge of the rainbow to red on the other. And they saw in that a reminder that just as God once destroyed the world with water, he will again destroy the world, this time by fire.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
We've heard for a long time about gender equality. Now, what that usually comes down to, I mean, it might have been in the old days just the right to vote, a suffrage. But now it comes down to largely code for how many women do you have working at your business, and are they working the secretarial pool, or are they working mid-management? Or now it usually means, are they in the corner office making the big money, putting in the long hours? In fact, there's a movement on the part of some major businesses called the Paradigm for Parity that by 2030, they want to see 50% women in those corner offices. Will that be gender equality? We're going to talk about that with Suzanne Venker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 15th of September. A little bit later, our series Christ in the Old Testament will be in the essential Advent Psalm, the last psalm we hear in the Advent season, the King of Glory coming in, lifting up those gates and letting the King of Glory enter in. It asks the question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And then it answers the question. We'll do that as well with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Suzanne Venker is a regular guest. She joins us to talk about the current move toward gender equality. She's a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She has been a guest on numerous radio and television programs, including The View, Fox and Friends, and The Laura Ingraham Show. She's author of several books, including The Flip Side of Feminism and a forthcoming publication titled The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for USA Today titled The Futile Nature of Gender Equality. Suzanne, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
We are repeatedly told that in order to achieve gender equality, women not only should be given the corner office with the big money and the 12-hour work days, but that women should want that for gender equality. Is that what women want?
So, no. The research shows clearly and unequivocally that that is not what the majority of women want. Now, you don't hear this in the media, of course, because the most vociferous voices out there, of course, are arguing that we can't have equality until we have 50% of females in the workforce, not just in the workforce, but in the higher echelons of the workforce. That's very important to understand. What they're looking for is CEOs and executives to run companies. That's the bottom line. Or also be in the White House. So, of course, political and business fields are very time intensive. And they don't really allow you to have a personal life much at all. So women don't choose that. And that is unfortunate for the smaller segment of women who do choose that. And I think sometimes probably get very lonely hanging out there with mostly men. But that's, we all make our choices in life and they have trade-offs. And they're just not going to get what they're looking for, which is why I titled it The Feudal Nature of Gender Equality. It's kind of a silly, if you're defining gender equality in that way, I should say, then it's just never going to happen.
Is part of the reason that the media continues to trumpet this idea of what women should want or ought to want is because, by and large, the women who occupy the higher echelons of the media have made this sacrifice themselves. This is the dream they're living, the long hours, the big pay, but this it has come at the cost of the children and the family, even if they can't afford it, a couple au pairs or nannies.
Right, and of course, you never, ever hear any conversation about children in the news, do you, about how this affects children. But of course, all of us watching the news are very well aware of that. It's just that it's too politically incorrect to talk about. The people who are the gender equality advocates are never going to talk about the needs of children because A, they don't care. B, they don't know what they are, quite frankly. I mean, they're just not cut out for that role, in my opinion. They just are very hardcore, power-focused people. And those are that's a different life. You know, as I say, if you choose it, go right ahead. But I like to say, when it comes to gender equality issues that we hear in the media, you can't legislate desire. And that's ultimately what they're wanting to do, and it can't be done because they're up against human nature and the differences between women and men and the fact that women are more relational beings and they get their identity primarily through family and relationships, and men get their identity through their work that they then use to provide for that family. So this is real life, right? Most of us know this every day. It's just not what you hear in the media.
You cite as an example Kellyanne Conway, who, by some people's accounts, got Donald Trump elected and could have a choice spot in the White House. But she's talking about not availing herself of that very influential position. Tell us about it.
Right. So she made a comment last Wednesday that she was not going to be able to work inside the White House anyway, maybe from a distance, because she's got four children under 12 at home who need her. Very, very simple comment. Most parents are going to understand that statement. But, of course, if you just Google Kellyanne Conway, you'll see all the blowback that she got for making that pronouncement. And that was the same day that this paradigm for parity, where they want women to be in politics and be in the upper echelons at 50% as men, it was just ironic because here she's someone who's certainly successful, Kellyanne Conway, and she hits her limit, right? At the end of this election period, she got him elected, or helped get him elected, Trump. And now it's time for her to get home, basically, is what she was saying, for all intents and purposes, thus making my point that you're going to hit, you know, I think she just did that for the last year, and now it's time to refocus. So people who are going to step out, obviously, are not going to make that, they're not going to be in the corner office or get to those upper echelons.
She actually said, my children are 12, 12, 8, and 7, which is a, and this is interesting, Bad idea for mom going to the White House. Now, I'm sure that that simply did not compute with people who are writing things like the paradigm for, because they're going to say, so what? Your kids are that old. They spend most of the day at school and you could obviously afford to some daycare there in D.C.
Right. Or, you know, they have all these other ideas. Like I said, they have this idea that men and women can, and it's a complete utopia, that you're both going to work for that same goal, because family is not the goal anymore, you know, that you're both going to work to be in these upper echelons, and magically you're going to make it all work so that your kids are not neglected because one of you is always there when the other one's not, yet you're still magically going to both make it to the corner office. It's very confusing. The bigger issue, of course, is the values, and that's really what the problem is underlying it all.
Let's talk about the paradigm for parity itself, which has as its goal to move women into these executive positions in major companies by 2030 at the tune of 50%. So 50% of the corner offices will be occupied by women, to put it in kind of a visual there. You say it's futile, but they're going to try. What is the result going to be? If they can't get their 50%, what does that mindset say the only explanation can be? Because they're not going to say women don't want to do this.
No, what they will continue to say is they'll use the drumbeat of, there's two things. The larger issue is that, of course, women are discriminated against. They can't get ahead because they have all these things that hold them back. What are those things? Well, one of the things they complain is that men don't do their fair share at home. They have this idea that if men did exactly what women do at home, picking up that quote-unquote second shift, that all would be right in the world and it would allow women to stay at work longer, and they just can't do it because their husbands won't do enough at home. That's ridiculous. You know, it's not, men and employers are not the enemy. Time is the enemy for women. You simply can't do everything at one time. And so instead of accepting that as fact, they just point to husbands and employers as holding them back because they cannot face the truth or the facts that you can't raise a family and get to the upper echelons simultaneously.
I just know how difficult it was raising two children with, for the majority of the time, my wife actually staying home. So many things can mm-hmm. and do go wrong. Children are hard, and when they do not receive your constant and full attention, things, it never turns out good. How do we send that message to people that kids really matter, and this next generation of kids, if raised by their nannies or their daycare centers, we think things are bad now, they will be terrible with that next generation of kids.
They were. You know, I liken it to, I don't know if you ever heard about Judith Wallerstein's The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce, but that was a 25 landmark study that followed children of divorce from the time they were, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way up to when they were, you know, 25. And then she interviewed them. And nothing like that's ever been done before. And I think that needs to be done for latchkey kids and kids in daycare. And I think, or just absentee parenting, whatever form that took. And I think until we have something like that, people, unless you've experienced it, really aren't going to understand the scope of what the long-term issues are with that.
Do you see on the horizon, especially with the next generation, in particular the millennials, who sadly, though, are deferring marriage and family just like their boomer parents did, but do you see a possibility in the value shift to family? They seem to like everything homegrown. They like to say everything
yeah.
domestic. It would seem that they'd kind of like to have their families
yeah.
taken care of at home too.
You know, I really, call me crazy, but I really do think that it's going to, I can't say turn back because that's not at all what I mean, and that's not possible. But I mean a shift away from this obsession with work as though it's the meaning of life, when it's really should be reversed, where family is the meaning of life and work sort of orbits around that. I really think that those children, especially because of what we said before, because they're the recipients of what their parents did and didn't like it, are going to do it very differently. It won't look like it did in the 50s and 60s, of course. It will look very different. But hey, if you're physically there, I'm good with that. I'd like to see that, and I think it will happen.
And then finally here, let's just talk about the premise of the paradigm for parity. The premise is that unless we have 50%, let's just say the workplace, unless we have 50% male and female in the workplace, then there isn't gender equality. Is there a different picture of gender equality which doesn't focus entirely on who's putting in the equal amount of
yeah.
hours and getting the equal paycheck at work?
So I don't think so. And the reason for that is because the way it's defined by the folks who are in charge of it, is it's a political issue for them, right? And so they only define it one way. You and I, if asked about equality, would not define it in terms of what your wife and you and my husband and I do on a given day. We have a focus and we share the responsibilities in getting to that goal, and who's doing what is beside the point. Who's the idea that one is less than the other is just not even on our radar. But for this other group, and those are the ones in power making this happen, that's not how they see it. So there is no other version of gender equality for those folks.
Do you think that an initiative like Paradigm for Parity gets, in kind of a perverse way, a breath of fresh life by given the fact that the new narrative is we almost had a woman in the White House, and yet that glass ceiling proved
yeah.
to be unbreakable?
Yeah, I think that the timing of that, or the coincidences of just the whole election and having Kellyanne Conway play such a dominant role, and then listening to her say that, which is why I was so pleased, of course, when she did, because you're using someone as an example who almost did make it that far, right? Not just, you know, your average employee, but like someone who's, you know, up there. And she opted out, and to have her say it in such a matter-of-fact way was just so refreshing. And I knew as soon as I read that quote what she was going to take as a result for the backlash. But I thought it was great.
So if you were going to say a genuine definition of gender equality, one that doesn't only focus on incomes and things like that, what would you say it is?
Well, first of all, I would give it a different word entirely. I don't use or think about things in terms of equal or fair. I think of things as being valuable in their own unique way. And there's no better example of that than men versus women. Not versus women. Men and women. I want to put them in the same box. Men bring certain things to the table. Women bring certain things to the table. They're different, and they are equally valuable. So the whole notion of trying to make men and women equal is, to me, ridiculous because they're not equal. I mean, they're equal in value, but that's it. They're not equal. I mean, really, if you look at something that's equal, you're talking about exactly the same, which is what the cultural narrative says. But that's, you know, most of us know that that's not accurate. So, you know, for me, it's just I use the term value or valuable, not equal. I just don't use equality at all in my lexicon.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis. She's been a guest on numerous radio and television programs, including The View, Fox and Friends, The Laura Ingraham Show. She's author of several books, including The Flip Side of Feminism, her forthcoming book, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for USA Today titled The Futile Nature of Gender Equality. You'll find a link to that column and to Suzanne's books at issuesetc.org and click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
We're going to be doing Christ in the Old Testament on the other side of the break on this Thursday afternoon to round off this edition of Issues Etc. We're going to be in Psalm 24, that psalm that asks the question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And then we find out who it is, and the gates get lifted up. We'll talk about the King of Glory in Psalm 24, Christ in the Old Testament, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Quality, quantity, qualified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.